Well, praise God. Thank you for tuning in. We just want to praise the Lord today and lift up that wonderful name of Jesus. Pray that we find you blessed and enriched in God. And if not, we hope that through prayer and through this teaching today, you can be uplifted in God. Lord, grant your word to go forth and accomplish that what you will. Give us victory as we pray. Touch all that are sick and afflicted. And Lord, bring them into the focus where they in their mind can grasp the word of God. Grant it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We want to do a teaching today on the subject, fear not. I find in the King James Version of the Word of God, 364 times in the Bible, God's Word simply says, fear not. Matthew 10 and 28 says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. God's word gets right to the point, and he tells us who we need to fear. We need to fear him, and that's a godly fear. That's a different fear than a tormenting fear. Revelation 1 and 18, Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. That's the reason we need to have a respect and fear for him. Luke 12 and 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. There he's telling us not to fear the elements, not to fear anything, but to put our trust in him. Then he goes on to say in Psalms 23 and 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thou rod and thou staff, they comfort me. Here the key to that verse is, as we fear no evil, for thou art with us. And we find through a study in the Word of God that be with us is more than that be with them. We find out if God stand for you, who could stand against you? So we understand where when we put our trust in God, then we have nothing to fear. In Genesis 15 and 1, God told Abraham, fear not, I am thy shield. In 1 Peter 3 and 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And, you know, we got to know who we are. I've said this a many times. First of all, you got to know who God is. You got to know who you are in God. And if you know these things and you put your confidence and you know where you're going in God and where the direction you're trying to go with your life, there's not many things that can overtake you or come against you in that understanding. Matter of fact, there's nothing that can overtake you or come against you. So we need to fear God. We need to absolutely fear God, knowing who that we are. 1 Peter and 2 and 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. We're no longer stumbling around in darkness. We're walking in the light of the gospel, and he shined it upon our paths. And we have no reason to be afraid of the darkness. And you know, a lot of people's afraid of night, but the Lord, he's the master, and he's the one that's our high tower and our strength, and he takes care of us in every situation. We have no reason to fear, because he is with us. Matthew 28 and 18, in the second part of that verse, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and that which is Jesus. So we know that all power, not some of it, not part of it, but all the power is given to Jesus in his name, and we have the promise of that through the word. In Romans 13 and 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, there's only one supreme power. All power must yield unto God. The devil, what power he has, He has it because God still lets him operate. But if you study the Word of God and you study it plainly and thoroughly, you will find that Satan is limited. And, you know, he can't take your life. He can make you miserable. He don't have the power to overtake you unless you let him. We control. I know when the last president was elected, you know, knowing he's most likely a Muslim, he was going to be for same-sex marriage, and it's proved out just like it appeared to be. But I thought I was going to feel awful that next morning when I realized that he'd been elected. But I woke up feeling good, and God told me that he is limited to us. You know, the powers that are here are limited to the child of God. And the wicked can only do so much because they're subject under the power of God. And what God allows them to do, he allows for a reason, he allows for a purpose. And I'm telling you something, if we don't get our eyes back on the Lord, if we don't humble ourselves and pray and call upon the Lord and get our eyes back on the Lord, we're going to be in trouble in this land because we have made it to where that we cannot praise God. Our government shuts down numerous times a day where the Muslims can pray, but they won't let us use the name of Jesus in anything we do. That's an abomination in the sight of God, and we're going to pay for it. We've got state after state that's saying that's, you know, same-sex marriage. Supreme Court just held up a ruling or give down a ruling that we have to give equal rights to those that are marrying same sex. And that's abomination in the eyes of God. And God will strike this country down. And I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm saying what the Word of God is. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and he'll do the same for America. We are going down. But the only hope for America is we humble ourselves and pray. And the fact we of the righteous of God have authority over the devil, and I bind the powers of hell and of darkness and rule them void in the name of Jesus. And that works. I see it work in my life every day of my life. And it works. It continuously works. So those powers that are, they're all subject to God and subject to us as children of God. Psalm 62 and 11. That power belongeth unto God. Thank God that it belongs to God. It don't belong to the wicked. It don't belong to the devil, but it belongs to God. Luke in the 10th chapter in verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now we can rejoice because that is truly the truth. The Bible says we got power over the enemy. Nothing can hurt us. And, you know, we're not to rejoice just in that alone, but we're to rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where our victory's at. That's where our praise is. Mark 16 and 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. There it is again, in my name. For he says, whatsoever we do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. So in my name shall they cast out devils. And I tell the devil to get out of the way because we're going to cast him out in the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy and 1 and 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I can't quote that enough. He's not giving you the spirit of fear, love, power, and sound mind. Keep a clear mind. Don't let the devil come in and mess with your mind. Now the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We need to fall in love with Jesus over and over again, and we need to have the love of God, that perfect love of God in our hearts. You know, it casts out all fear. We're not afraid of death because the Bible says, you know, to be absent body is to be present with the Lord, and we have no reason for fear in death. Death can't sting us anymore. We have victory through death, and thank God for that victory we have, and thank God that, you know, we're going to be with the Lord, you know, absent body, present with the Lord. That, as we have said, it's worth saying again and again and repeating over and over and over, because we are going to be with the Lord. Life is a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanishes away. And we're absent with body, present with the Lord. Life is, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So in the sum total of all that understanding, we can't lose in God. And then we cover some more scriptures here in 1 John in the 4th chapter and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's the power of God working within us. And we don't have to be afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid of demons. We don't have to be afraid. You know, the Bible says if we sin not, the wicked one touches us not. So our duty should be to live righteously and holy in this present life and live ourselves dedicated to God, and let the righteousness of God be in us, and let all of our righteousness, it is filthy rags, but let the righteousness of God be in us, and that'll bring forth that perfection. Then in James 4 and then in 7 and 8. It goes on to say, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I say, devil, go in the name of Jesus, and he's got to go. Now, the Bible says we are to draw nigh unto God, and then we resist the devil. We got to have the power of God within us. We can't do it on our own. What those sons of Sive, they tried to do it on their own, and that old devil turned on them and, you know, rent their clothes off, and it was just a nightmare. But we go in the name of Jesus. We exercise the authority of the name of Jesus, and we speak in the authority. Speak to that cancer and tell it to be removed. Speak to that gallbladder problem and tell it to be healed. Speak in the name of Jesus. We have the right to speak, and we have the authority, and not to fear, but to speak. Then in verse 8, there again it comes back and says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Then in Colossians in the 3rd chapter in verse 3, and I like this section of scripture. It's a powerful section. We might take more time here than just reading verse 3. Let's turn to it and read the depth of that thing. It is a very powerful scripture. It's meant so much to me in my experience with God, and I know it'll mean so much to you. Leading up to that verse, we start in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ setteth on the right hand of God. It goes on to explain in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. And now verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The word goes on to say, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornicators, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuous, and covetousness, which is adultery, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We need to be children of obedience. If we are children of obedience, then we can go forth with victory, knowing that no weapon that's formed against us is going to prosper, knowing that we have victory through the blood of Jesus. And we just praise and glorify God that we have the truth, we have his word, and we have that understanding that we don't have to be afraid, for perfect love has cast out all the fear. Now let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal to the uttermost. Let your word, Lord, just let people fall in love with you until all fear is gone. Let them realize that 364 times you said, fear not in your word. And God, that they can have a sound mind, because you've not given the fear of fear, but love, power, and that sound mind. No, God, do the work that's needed in each life. Give us victory through the blood of Jesus. This is our prayer. Amen and amen. God bless you. Till we come to you again in the next teaching, may God keep you.